At the far northwest corner of Puerto Rico, where the Atlantic crashes against limestone cliffs and salt hangs thick in the breeze, lies a town brimming with buried secrets. Aguadilla, sunlit and serene today, was once a vital outpost haunted by the ghosts of empire, resistance, and rebellion. Hidden in its coves are whispers of pirates who ruled the waters, legends of stolen gold, and tales of the last Caribbean outlaw, Roberto Cofresí. They say he could disappear into mist, that he gave his riches to the poor, and that the crown hunted him like a myth. But Aguadilla's legends go deeper than swashbuckling tales. Beneath its churches, forts, and quiet plazas live stories of betrayal, survival, and identity, shaped by centuries of cultural collision. What was lost and what remains has become part of the soul of this coastal city. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Villa del Ojo de Agua. Where it all begins. Long before pirate flags fluttered in its waters, Aguadilla was a cradle of fresh water and fertile earth. The town's name, rooted in the Spanish word for little water, came from the many natural springs bubbling just beneath its hills. Locals called it the Villa del Ojo de Agua, the village of the water eye. Here, the land itself seemed alive, always pouring, always offering. Founded in 1775 during the height of Spanish colonial power, Aguadilla wasn't just a charming coastal village. It was a strategic point for the empire, tucked into a natural harbor with a clear view of ships sailing the northern and western shores. This made it both a shield and a target, a place where armies prepared for invasion and outlaws saw opportunity. The town grew quickly from three humble streets into a fortified port. Spanish engineers raised strong stone walls along its most exposed edges, building lookouts and forts, including what would become the legendary Fuerte de la Concepción. This was no ordinary outpost. It was a sentry for the crown, and every cannon pointed toward the horizon carried centuries of imperial ambition. But while officials came and went, the people, festivals emerged bearing his name. One popular tradition was the Noche del Corsario, or Night of the Corsair, a celebration of music, lanterns, and storytelling. Young actors dressed as pirates roamed the plazas, reenacting raids while elders spun tales of gold still hidden in the hills. But even these celebrations carried a subtle message, one of dignity, rebellion, and pride. Cofresí wasn't glorified for his crimes, but for his courage to rise against impossible odds. A new kind of hero. As political tides shifted, so too did the meaning of Cofresí's story. Puerto Ricans began to reinterpret their heroes, not as perfect saints, but as complex figures of survival. Cofresí fit the mold perfectly, brave, flawed, driven by both need and belief. He became a mirror for a people forced to navigate centuries of outside rule, Spain, then the United States. And through it all, the legend of Cofresí remained. Not because he was the strongest or the richest, but because he dared to choose freedom, even if it meant death. In classrooms, teachers told students he didn't steal just for himself. He fought for those who had nothing. His name became shorthand for resistance. And in Aguadilla, resistance had roots in salt and soil, echoes in modern times. Even today, Cofresí's presence lingers. Tour guides speak of him not with scripted facts, but with reverence. His supposed hiding spots are still visited. Some come with the metal detectors, others with cameras, but all come with curiosity, not just for treasure, but for truth. Local poets publish verses in his honor. One read, "He rode the sea with fire in his chest, not for gold, but for justice's breath. Though cannons silenced his rebel tongue, the island still sings the song he sung. The modern generation, raised on technology and headlines, still finds something in Kofrasi's story, something timeless, something real. Because even if the treasure was never found, the greater wealth was already unearthed, a hero the people could claim for themselves. From Aguadilla to the world today, Aguadilla continues to honor him. His name appears in books, songs, documentaries, and even in street murals, where his face blends with stormy seas and ancient sails. The message is clear. Kofrasi never truly died. He sailed. Still, in the heart of a town that remembers, not as a pirate, but as a patriot. Chapter 6, Legacy in the Limestone, Myths, Murals, and the Search for Truth. The town of Aguadilla rests on a foundation of limestone, soft, ancient, and full of secrets. Over centuries, rain and ocean carved tunnels through the cliffs, creating caves and hollows that seem to breathe with the tide. Some are deep enough to swallow the sound of your voice. Others seem to hum when the moon is full. In this stone, the past has written its memories. And among those memories, the name of Roberto Kofrasi echoes louder than ever. But legends do not sit still. They evolve, they bend, and in Aguadilla, the pirate's shadow has become something far greater than a man. Stone as storyteller. Locals say the land remembers. Along the trails near Peña Blanca and into the hills of Cerro Las Yayas, strange markings have been found. Weathered symbols carved into the limestone. A star, a spiral, a jagged cross. To some, they are just erosion. To others, they are signs, pirate codes left behind to guide future generations or protect ancient secrets. Children are warned not to follow them alone, not because of danger, but out of respect. These carvings may never be confirmed. But in Aguadilla, proof is less important than belief. The land holds its truth whether anyone records it or not. Murals that speak walk through downtown Aguadilla today, and you'll find Kofrasi's face staring back from the walls, not as a villain, but as a symbol of resilience. Murals show him gripping the wheel of a phantom ship, standing atop a wave like a prophet, or offering coins to a barefoot child with a smirk of defiance. These aren't just art, they're public declarations, a conversation between past and present. One of the most famous murals, painted just outside a school near Plaza Rafael Hernandez, shows Kofrasi split in two. On one side, the feared corsair with a pistol drawn. On the other, a calm islander offering a hand. It's a visual debate, outlaw or icon. The children who walk past it every day don't need the answer. They already know he was both. Myth as resistance. For many Puerto Ricans, especially those in Aguadilla, the story of Kofrasi has become a quiet form of protest against colonization, against forgetting, against being told who their heroes should be. In schools, history lessons include Kofrasi not just as a pirate, but as a complex man born from injustice. Some teachers use his life to explain economic inequality. Others use it to discuss identity, loyalty, and power. Writers and poets have turned to him in moments of national doubt, during protests, during natural disasters, during long nights of political uncertainty. His ghost becomes a rally cry, not for violence, but for independence of thought. The man who once hid in limestone caves now hides in verses, melodies, and muraled walls, always watching, always challenging the silence. The treasure hunters return. Of course, not everyone sees Kofrasi as metaphor. Each year, quiet groups of explorers and amateur historians come to Aguadilla in search of his rumored treasure. Some carry ground-penetrating radar. Others bring maps handed down through families. A few arrive with nothing more than a story and a dream. They comb the coastlines at dawn. crawl into narrow crevices at Playa India El Natural. Watch the moon from the cliffs of Punta Borinquen. Most find nothing, but a few claim they found coins, rusted weaponry, or fragments of carved stone. No major treasure has ever been recovered. But that's not the point. The real treasure is this. They keep looking. A town of two worlds, Aguadilla, today is a mix of sun and shadow. Tourists flock to the beaches, unaware that just beneath their towels and surfboards lies a history shaped by secrecy and struggle. Locals smile, serve food, offer directions, but they also remember the limestone holds it, the wind carries it, and the murals tell it. Young artists continue to reinterpret Cofresí. One recent sculpture project imagined him not as a pirate at sea, but as a barefoot youth staring at the ocean, fists clenched. Another visualized him walking among protesters, his tricorn hat replaced by a baseball cap, still defiant. The legends shift, but the core stays the same. Freedom, risk, and a refusal to bow. A future rooted in the past. What keeps this story alive isn't treasure. It's identity. In Aguadilla, Cofresí is not frozen in history. He lives in graffiti, in classroom debates, in whispered stories around nighttime fires, in fathers telling sons he was one of us. And though the limestone cliffs may one day crumble and the murals may fade under salt and time, his spirit will remain, because some truths are too powerful to bury, and some legends refuse to die. Chapter 7, The Final Tide. Why legends? Like Cofresí will never die. The sea never forgets. Every wave that crashes along Aguadilla's cliffs, every wind that whips across Punta Borinquen, carries the same song, a rhythm of defiance, of memory, of something deeper than time. And in that rhythm, the name Roberto Cofresí rises like the tide. He was a man, a pirate, a rebel. But now, Cofresí is more than all of those. He's a symbol, a shadow that lives in sunlight, a ghost who refuses to sink. And in the town where it all began, his story still walks among the living. The edge of memory. If you ask the oldest residents of Aguadilla whether Cofresí was real, their answers are never simple. He passed through here. I swear it, says one. My great-grandfather saw him, gave him bread once, claims another. They speak not in facts, but in echoes, because the truth of Cofresí is not a line in a history book. It's the way a community chooses to remember. And in Aguadilla, memory is sacred. The limestone holds the footsteps, the ocean hides the roots, and the air carries whispers that even silence can't erase. Puerto Rico's eternal corsair across the island, Cofresí's image now stands alongside Puerto Rican heroes like Betances, Albizu Campos, and Julia de Burgos. He doesn't wear medals. He doesn't have a statue in every plaza. But his legend lives in the cracks of colonial history, in the in-between, where resistance thrives. In classrooms, students debate whether he was a criminal or a patriot. In music, he appears as both trickster and savior. In art, he's drawn with fire in his eyes, the sea behind him, and a people at his back. He belongs not to the past, but to the future, carried forward by each new generation who dares to ask, what if freedom was worth the risk? The global resonance. Cofresí's story has begun to reach far beyond Puerto Rican shores. In the diaspora, in New York, Orlando, Chicago, his name shows up in poetry slams, murals under highway overpasses, and activist chants. To some, he's a symbol of Caribbean, resistance against empire. To others, a reminder that identity cannot be colonized. And to many, he is proof that even the poor and hunted can become legends if they hold on to their dignity long enough. He is, in many ways, the ancestor of the modern rebel, not one who destroys, but one who refuses to be erased, Aguadilla's living pulse. Back in Aguadilla, The ocean still whispers. The cliffs still hold their secrets. And each sunset feels like a tribute. On quiet evenings, lanterns are still lit in hidden spots, not as part of any official event, but out of tradition. A silent nod to the man who walked those sands, defied kings, and vanished into mist. Sometimes, a lone fisherman swears he sees a shape in the distance, a sailboat with no flag drifting calmly against the wind. Others say a familiar figure walks the rocks after midnight, dressed in black, disappearing before dawn. Maybe it's imagination. Or maybe, legends never leave, not when they're rooted in the heart of a people. The final tide. Kofrasi's story ends the way the sea always does, never truly ending. It rolls forward, pulled by gravity, shaped by storms, and reborn with every wave. And though time may try to bury it, the tide always returns. Because Kofrasi wasn't just a man. He was a question. What will you do when freedom calls? And Aguadilla, standing tall on her limestone bones, still answers, "We remember, we resist, we ride the tide." We of Aguadilla stayed. Fishermen hauled in their daily catch from the glistening sea. Farmers worked the rich red soil, and women fetched water from the springs said to be sacred since Taino times. The town's rhythms beat with ancient echoes, a fusion of Taino, African, and Spanish life that gave it an identity no empire could fully control. And then came the ships without flags. Chapter 2, Shadows on the Horizon, The Rise of the Pirates. As the 18th century waned and the 19th began, the sea that kissed Aguadilla's coast grew darker with unrest. To the naked eye, it shimmered with sunlight and sea foam. But just beyond the horizon, ships flew no flags and made no declarations. These were not vessels of state. They were ships of fortune, and their captains answered to no king. The age of empire had left the Caribbean teeming with contradictions. Spain, once dominant, was bleeding influence. Britain and France nipped at its heels, and revolution churned in the Americas. Trade routes were both arteries of wealth and veins of corruption. And in this chaos, piracy thrived. Aguadilla's geography made it perfect and dangerous. Hidden coves provided places to anchor unseen. The surrounding hills and freshwater springs gave pirates places to rest, resupply, and vanish. But what truly set Aguadilla apart was its people. The locals, caught between poverty and colonial taxation, sometimes found themselves quietly sympathizing with those who defied the empire's grip. Rumors began to circulate. A strange sloop had been seen at dusk off Crashboat Beach. Livestock had gone missing, yet no prints were left behind. Lantern lights blinked from the sea cliffs at midnight, flashing in a silent code. Fishermen whispered of silver coins washing ashore, slick with seawater, and marked with symbols they did not recognize. Then, in 1820, the name Roberto Kofrasi began echoing through town. The legend arrives. Roberto Kofrasi, y Ramirez de Arellano, was no ordinary pirate. Born in Cabo Rojo in 1791, not far from Aguadilla, he had grown up in a world of shifting loyalties and maritime myths. Some say he was part nobleman, part rogue, a man who could dine with aristocrats and disappear with smugglers in the same night. But in Aguadilla, he became something else entirely, a ghost, a hero, and a nightmare. His ship, the Anna, appeared in flashes, docking in darkness, vanishing by dawn. He robbed Spanish merchant vessels, sometimes letting their crews live, other times sinking the ship with barely a trace. His attacks were swift and surgical. He knew the coastline like a second skin. And though colonial authorities branded him a criminal, among the poor and oppressed, Kofrasi was something closer to a saint. They told stories of him sharing gold with struggling families. He'd slip food and medicine to the sick, pay off debts with stolen doubloons, and hand down gifts to children with a wink and a warning not to tell. For every royal wanted poster plastered along the ports, there was a villager ready to hide him, and Aguadilla became one of his safest harbors. The Empire Strikes Back. The Spanish crown could no longer ignore the embarrassment. Here was a native Puerto Rican attacking their own ships, becoming a folk hero, and making a mockery of colonial law. Authorities launched naval patrols from San Juan, Ponce, and even the Dominican Republic, sweeping the coast in hopes of catching him off guard. But Cofresí knew the terrain better than any admiral. He used the inlets of Aguadilla like trapdoors, slipping between reefs and cliffs with the tides. His crew moved like phantoms, blending with merchants, hiding among fishermen, even joining local celebrations before disappearing again. At the edge of town, near the ruins of what had once been a Spanish watchtower, locals claimed Cofresí buried a small cache of gold beneath a tree with crooked roots. Children dared each other to find it. None ever did. But the tree remains, gnarled, ancient, and always growing. The culture of silence. As Spanish officers intensified their efforts, something even more dangerous began to spread through Aguadilla. Silence. People stopped speaking openly. Families looked over their shoulders before telling stories. To speak of Cofresí was to risk being accused of treason, but to betray him meant turning your back on someone who, to many, represented hope in a world of injustice. Fishermen began marking their boats with discreet symbols: an etched C, a coiled rope, a single black feather, signs of loyalty or warning. Women hung clotheslines with specific colors, a silent code that could mean danger, safe, or leave now. This was no longer a town on the edge of empire. It was a town inside a secret war. And for all the might of Spain's fleets, they couldn't find him. Not here. Not yet. A myth in the making. By the early 1820s, Roberto Cofresí had transcended the world of pirates. He became a symbol of rebellion, of resistance, of a people tired of being ruled by faraway kings. Aguadilla, with its cliffs and coves, became the backdrop to a story larger than any single man. Some said he could control the weather, that he spoke with the sea, that when he was near, the moon would hang lower and the wind would hum in a different key. Others believed he was protected by something older, the spirits of Taíno warriors or the blessings of Yemayá, goddess of the sea. The truth? Cofresí was no god. But in Aguadilla, where history blurred into legend, it didn't matter. He was theirs, and for now, he remained free. But freedom always has a cost. Chapter 3, Treasures and Traps. The Hidden Coves of Aguadilla. Aguadilla's coastline is a riddle of stone and salt. From the dramatic cliffs near Punta Borinquen to the soft sands of Playa Peña Blanca, its shores offer a unique blend of beauty and danger. But to the pirates of the Caribbean, especially those like Roberto Cofresí, this stretch of land was more than scenery. It was a maze, a sanctuary, and above all, a perfect place to hide treasure. Throughout the early 1800s, maps of the area were incomplete or purposefully misleading. Cartographers hired by the crown often left gaps, bluffs, and unnamed inlets. Local sailors, however, passed down a different kind of map, one drawn in memory, whispered in bars, or scratched on driftwood. These were the true charts of Aguadilla's hidden coves. The secret of survival. One of the most legendary hiding spots was a stretch of coast just north of Crash Boat Beach. Tucked between two steep cliffs and reachable only by small canoe, this cove vanished entirely from sight unless viewed at precisely the right tide. Local lore claimed Cofresí once rode into it alone, with nothing but a barrel and a shovel. When he emerged, hours later, the barrel was gone. To this day, treasure hunters comb the rocks near El Natural, Azatzaro, natural rock formation that juts into the sea like a crooked finger. The tides there are unpredictable, and more than one explorer has been swept away trying to reach the supposed spot. But the legend lives on that somewhere within those ridges lies a stash of silver and gold, sealed in a watertight chest buried beneath volcanic stone. The echoes in the earth. Locals have long spoken of strange sounds heard at night. Distant clinks of metal on stone, shovel scraping earth, whispers carried on the wind. Some say it's just the wind echoing through caves. Others say it's something else. One site in particular, a cave system near Peña Blanca, is marked with what appear to be carvings, a crescent moon, a ship's helm, and a cross. Some believe these were signs left by Cofresí to mark safe paths or burial spots. Geologists who visited the site claim the symbols are too uniform to be natural, but no official excavation has ever been sanctioned. Residents nearby have mixed feelings. Some say the ground should be left undisturbed, that digging might awaken bad luck. Others speak of men from the mainland who came with metal detectors and left without a word, pale, shaken, never to return. When folklore becomes a map in Aguadilla, the line between myth and memory is razor thin. Children grow up hearing stories of hidden riches under ancient almond trees or caves that breathe when the tide rises. Many of these tales seem far-fetched, but time and again, they lead to places that exist on no tourist brochure. The town plaza itself was once said to be built atop a hidden chamber used by pirates to store gunpowder and rum. During renovations in the mid-20th century, workers reported finding bricks that didn't match any known colonial design. A few were etched with numbers and foreign lettering, Portuguese, perhaps, or even Arabic. They were quietly taken away and never seen again. A similar mystery surrounds a well behind the remains of Fuerte de la Concepción. Though officially listed as a cistern, its depth has never been fully measured. Some believe it connects to a series of tunnels leading beneath the old city. A few elders in Aguadilla remember stories told by their grandparents about smuggling routes, escape tunnels, and narrow passages that led straight from the sea to the safety of a cellar. Whether these stories are true or simply the dreams of a town raised on legend, one thing is certain. No pirate survives without a plan, and Cofresí's plans, it seems, were carved into the land itself, the curse of the unclaimed gold. But treasure, real or imagined, always brings trouble. Over the years, dozens of adventurers have scoured Aguadilla's coast, each convinced they'll find Cofresí's fortune. Some come with ground-penetrating radar, others with ancient maps bought on the black market or inherited through family lines. One man, a Puerto Rican-American from New York, claimed to have discovered an X made of stone slabs behind the lighthouse ruins. He vanished 2 days after his post went viral. His campsite was found intact. His equipment was gone. His boat drifted ashore a week later with no signs of damage. Some say he took the treasure and disappeared. Others say the sea took him back as punishment for trespassing on sacred ground. What we leave behind, what makes Aguadilla's pirate legend so enduring, isn't just the chance of finding buried gold. It's the sense that every path, every wave, every shadowed cave might be hiding a piece of history, a whisper of rebellion, a secret never written down. To walk along the cliffs at sunset, when the wind is low and the tide is rising, is to feel the past stirring beneath your feet. Somewhere, perhaps, a rusted lock still clutches a forgotten chest. Or maybe the treasure is not a thing at all, but a story passed down through generations, growing brighter each time it's told. In Aguadilla, the land remembers. And sometimes, if you listen closely, it speaks. Chapter 4, Empire's Revenge, The Fall of Cofresí. By the mid-1820s, the Spanish Empire was no longer chasing a pirate. It was hunting a symbol. Roberto Cofresi had embarrassed colonial authorities for too long. His raids weren't just attacks on ships, they were insults to power. His crew moved faster than the Navy, slipped through waters thought secure, and did it all while becoming folk heroes in the eyes of the poor. He had outwitted soldiers, evaded blockades, and transformed Puerto Rico's coastline into his personal chessboard. But empires do not forget humiliation. The net begins to tighten. Pressure mounted in Madrid, and the orders came down. Cofresi was to be stopped. Not captured, not turned, stopped. Spanish governors across the Caribbean were instructed to coordinate efforts. Intelligence agents were dispatched. New ships were stationed along Puerto Rico's coasts, particularly the western edge, Aguadilla, Cabo Rojo, Mayagüez. Every suspicious boat was boarded. Every village was questioned. And yet, Cofresi remained a shadow. In Aguadilla, his name was rarely spoken aloud anymore. It had become dangerous, but people still left food near the cliffs. Fishermen sometimes returned to their boats to find gold coins tucked under nets, a silent thank you from someone unseen. But even legends grow tired, and even the sea has spies. The betrayal? In early 1825, it happened. A local informant, no name recorded, alerted Spanish authorities that Cofresi was preparing to set sail from the western coast. His ship, the Ana, had been spotted near Boquerón, not far from Aguadilla. The source even described the layout of the ship and named members of the crew. Historians still debate whether the betrayal came from within Cofresi's circle or from someone seeking reward money. But what is known is this. For the first time, the Spanish Navy knew exactly where to strike. A flotilla of warships moved fast. Within days, they cornered the Ana off the coast of Boca de Infierno, the mouth of hell. The name, perhaps, was a cruel omen. Cofresi fought hard. His crew exchanged cannon fire with overwhelming Spanish forces. But they were outgunned, outnumbered, and finally, outmaneuvered. The Ana was crippled. Several pirates were killed on deck. Others tried to leap into the sea but were captured. Cofresi himself was taken alive. The march through Aguadilla. He was shackled at dawn. Dirty, bruised, but unbroken. Witnesses described him as calm. His hands were tied, but his head was held high. When soldiers brought him through Aguadilla on the way to San Juan for trial, people lined the streets in silence. Some say mothers wept. Others say a group of boys tried to throw flowers at his feet, only to be shoved back by guards. He didn't speak, but he looked at the people. Not like a criminal, but like a leader saying goodbye. And though the town said nothing, the silence was deafening. The trial and execution. In San Juan, Cofresi and his captured crew were tried swiftly. There was no chance of acquittal. The charges were clear: piracy, robbery, murder, rebellion. The crown wanted no trial of conscience, only a statement. On March 29, 1825, Roberto Cofresi was executed by firing squad. He was 34 years old. They say he refused a blindfold, that he stood straight and fearless, eyes open until the very end. Some claim his final words were, "I die, but Puerto Rico will live free." Whether true or legend, the words were passed down like scripture. In Aguadilla and across the island, his death sent shockwaves through the people. The pirates were gone, but something had changed forever. The price of silence. After the execution, colonial officials tried to erase Cofresi's memory. His name was scrubbed from records. Maps were redrawn. His hiding places were filled with stone or sealed entirely. But you cannot bury a legend so easily. In Aguadilla, people whispered. Children were told stories. A handful of families passed down heirlooms, a coin, a dagger, a scarf with initials stitched in red. The old water routes remained, The cliff still held secrets, and when the moon was just right, fishermen swore they saw a lone boat drifting silently offshore. The name Kofrasi became more than a man. It became a warning, a dream, a symbol of resistance, the spirit that would not die. Years later, as Puerto Rico endured new rulers, new battles, and new struggles, the story of Roberto Kofrasi remained, retold in music, in poems, in hushed conversations after dark. Aguadilla became a place not just of sun and sea, but of memory. To this day, the locals speak of his gold, his bravery, and the betrayal that cost him everything. And some say he never left. That on stormy nights, when the wind screams through the cliffs and waves strike the rocks with fury, you can hear cannon fire echo from the past, not as a threat, but as a reminder. Chapter 5. From Pirate to Patriot. The rebirth of Kofrasi and Puerto Rican memory. When Roberto Kofrasi fell to the firing squad in 1825, the Spanish crown believed it had buried a criminal. But in the years that followed, something unexpected happened. Instead of fading into infamy, Kofrasi rose again, not in flesh, but in folklore. What was once outlaw legend became national myth. And in Aguadilla, where his sails once kissed the horizon, and his boots had stirred the soil, the people began to remember him not with fear, but with pride. The people's pirate. In the colonial record books, Kofrasi was branded a bandit, a traitor, a menace to empire. But the people who knew him, or rather the people who felt him, remembered something else. They told of a man who robbed the rich, spared the poor, and dared to defy a system that starved the island's soul. Around kitchen tables and in moonlit courtyards, the stories multiplied. Kofrasi shared his loot with villagers. He paid for a child's medicine. He helped a poor widow save her land. Some of the stories were surely exaggerated. Others might have been true. But together, they formed a new identity. Not pirate, but protector. By the late 1800s, when Puerto Rico faced economic hardship and rising demands for independence, Kofrasi's legend reemerged as a symbol of resistance, a man who took fate into his own hands. Aguadilla keeps the flame nowhere. Did his story burn brighter than in Aguadilla? Locals began hosting small gatherings near the cliffs where his ship was last seen. Lanterns were lit in his memory. Sea shanties were adapted with his name. Old men with guitars strummed verses in his honor, while children recited his tale as if it were a bedtime fable. Kofrasi had become more than history. He was heritage. Over time, the town began embedding his image into its cultural fabric. A small bust appeared near the ruins of Fuerte de la Concepción. Local artists painted murals of him. Coat fluttering, eyes fierce, hand resting on a sword. His image blended with myth, a symbol of courage, cunning, and Caribbean defiance. Even the sea seemed to agree. On certain days, waves crash unusually hard against the rocks at Punta Borinquen, almost as if the ocean itself remembers. Folklore and festival. By the mid-20th century, Kofrasi's legend was fully woven into Puerto Rican identity. Songs were written in his honor, blending folk rhythms with verses that painted him as a Robin Hood of the seas. Schools included him in history lessons. Theater groups staged dramatic reenactments of his final stand. In Aguadilla,